we pray, please? In Jesus' name. Almighty God, we want to thank you for another wonderful opportunity to be in your presence here this morning. The only reason we have not gone elsewhere but have come together before you this morning is that we know that when we come to you, we are going to be blessed and that our lives will not be the same. Lord, let the glory of your presence come down in Jesus' name. Lord, as you come here this morning, as your presence comes, just breathe over us and brood over us. Renew our lives afresh before you. Strengthen us, O Lord, from above. Clean our ears and anoint our hearts to hear your word. And Lord, let us be who you want us to be according to the word that you have provided for us this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are continuing on the series that we've been talking about. You know, we've been talking about different things, different instructions that God gave to the children of Israel, which we all agree that are meant to herald or are meant to serve as an example of the things that God expects of us. The Bible actually says they are a foreshadow of the things to come. And I'm sure we know that we are the one living in that dispensation. The dispensation that has manifested Christ and waiting for his coming, for him to return. In case we forget some of the things that God expects of us, or the relationship that God expects that we have with him, is an opportunity for us to remember this morning. So we are talking about something that most people don't like to talk about. It's something that we don't want to hear anymore. We are talking about sin offering. And I'm telling you, the word sin is not very popular. And most preachers, if they can avoid it, we will easily sidestep it and just tell people it's so wonderful, it's hunky-dory, it's nice, you know. But there are things we have to talk about. I think you remember one day I was saying here that those of us who are from Australia, from birth, you may not appreciate it, but there are some sicknesses that arise from diet. They are in the developing countries. You don't see much here. The one you see here, there are probably maybe two types. You see obesity from too much food. And then you may see what is called anorexia from not eating enough. That one is not because there is no food. It is because somebody chooses not to eat. In Africa, we have people who don't even have food to eat, or they get the wrong combination of food. It's very common in children because they depend on other people to feed them. And you and I, we are like that. We depend on God to feed us. He will send people in our way to feed us with the word. And when we are being fed with the word, and it is not balanced, will grow up to be unbalanced Christians. So, and I, as I've always said in the church, I said, if God think that word is good enough to be written in the Bible, then it's good enough to be preached. If God thought it's worthwhile to write it in the Bible, then it is worthwhile to share it. So we are talking about sin offering. The memory verse is taken from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9, 22. And it's written in our bulletin here. Hebrews 9, 22. Can we go? And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It's so absolute, isn't it? He said, without shedding of blood is no remission. It's so absolute that without blood is no remission. You see, when I was looking at this, yes, it's actually remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When I started looking at, when I was looking at this last night, one of the things that occurred to me was, I just looked at the power of God. I looked back home, I looked back at some of our traditional practices, religion, before Christianity came. And you know what? People used to make sacrifices. Who told them that they need to shed blood? It's so interesting. Who told them? Why did they need to shed blood? You know what I'm talking about. In those days, when there was no Christianity, they would go, they would shed blood to do certain things, to do certain rituals. Why did they have that? Who taught them biblical principle? Even though it's done the wrong way, do you understand? It was being offered to idols, not to God. But who taught them? So there's a consciousness of God in every man, in every generation. Even when people had not known Jesus Christ, there was some knowledge that without the shedding of blood, there cannot be remission. Those of us from Africa, you know what I'm talking about. Traditionalists, they kill animals. In some places, is it Kenya, Uganda, and some other places? Do you know that, they are still kidnapping people for rituals, right? Particularly albinos and other people who are at risk. Somehow, those people knew that there's some power in the blood. If that's what you can take home this morning, is to remember that there's power in the blood. Now, the difference is this. The Israelites spent years shedding blood, offering sacrifice to God. And then they realized, God made them to realize that they could continue day in, day out, shedding blood, year in, year out. But the blood that was being shed could not do something permanent in the lives of the people. So in other words, they shed blood this week, it doesn't stop them from sinning next week. And so they were going through the same circle of sinning and repenting, until God's plan manifested in the midst of them. And so, the necessary blood was shed once and for all. The necessary blood was shed once and for all. The one that has the ultimate power. And that is the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is power in the blood. Because the Bible says, the life of the animal is in its blood. There is life in it. There is power in it. Something is given in exchange. Life is given in exchange. When you make a sacrifice of blood, life is given in exchange for something. So Jesus had to give his life in exchange for what? For our salvation. He's giving his life in exchange for what? For your sickness. He's giving his life in exchange for your poverty. He's giving his life in exchange for your sorrows. He's giving his life in exchange for everything about your life. Nothing is free. There's no free lunch anywhere. Jesus paid for it. And so God taught them this principle that was before Jesus came. He taught them the principle that something had to be given if sins were going to be remitted. And so they had specifically prescribed for them sin offering. Let a very, very fast reader read from Leviticus chapter 4. Verse 1 to 35. If you know you are not fast enough, I will read.
The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them. If the prince that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the prince that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the prince shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkled of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the prince shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall be taken away. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offering, and the prince shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering, and the skin of the bullock and all his flesh, with his head and with his leg and his inward and his dung, even the old bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him in on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the law concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkled it 7 times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him, and burn it upon the altar, And it shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this. And the prince shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp, and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if he sin, wherein he has sinned, come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat, and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering.
Praise the Lord. Let's stop there, please. I want to draw a few points. We can go on and complete it. But what you will notice there is this. The Bible is talking about different groups. First of all, he talks about member of the congregation of the people. He talks about the priest sinning. He talks about the community together sinning. He talks about a leader sinning. He talks about different categories of people. So the first thing that we need to take home is this. No one is exempted. In other words, it does not matter your position. Whether you are called a pastor, or you are called an elder, or you are called whatever, by whatever name you are called. God's expectation from us is that when we do sin, repentance has to follow. That is the first thing. I think all of us will have noticed that. The second thing that I hope we have all noticed, you will notice that for each group of people, God said, if a member of the community had unintentionally, another version says ignorantly, when he talks about the priest, when he talks about the leader, when he talks about the community, he says, when they shall unintentionally. When you look at the whole of this passage, there's really no provision for intentional sin. Remission of sin. Intentional sin. Do you notice what I've noticed too? Look at every bit. It is what? Unintentional. Unintentional. Now, how can we sin unintentionally? Is it that we don't know, right? Most likely that we don't have the knowledge. Yet, God is saying if we don't have the knowledge, when we become aware of it, we'll get to that, we have to remit. Now, look at this. It puts the onus on us to be in search of knowledge so that we know what God wants. In other words, it's not an excuse on our part to say, I don't know. When I was in school, we did jurisprudence. In jurisprudence, one of the things that they taught us is that it's not acceptable before the law to argue ignorance. It's not a defense. That is what is called argumentum ad ignorantum. To just say, because I'm ignorant, I don't know. That's why I did it. When you go to court, it is the responsibility of everybody to find out. It says unintentionally. When I read it yesterday, I was scared, honestly. It kept saying unintentionally or ignorantly, So in other words, once we know, God is saying we don't have excuse. I just pray that God will give us the grace, even as you hear me this morning in Jesus' name. You see, unintentionally, you can look elsewhere, check the Bible, and see where it says, if an intentional sin is committed, this is what you do. It's so scary. Maybe I'm the one interpreting it that way, but I think that's what I'm seeing. Thirdly, you will notice that the Bible was saying, it will say when the person becomes aware of it. When the ruler becomes aware of it. When the priest becomes aware of it. In other words, everyone take responsibility for their own sin. Many of us, the only reason we pray and ask God for forgiveness is when we think we might be caught. So in other words, we are more afraid of the shame outside than our relationship with God. Notice, it's individual. He said, when this person shall become aware of it. So first of all, it was done in ignorance, and the day God opened your eyes to it. In other words, when you come to church like this, maybe you've been living one way before, and the day you become aware of it is the day you hear the word that addresses that aspect of your life and says, look, this is what the word of God says. You become aware. From that day, you have no excuse. Right? So, in other words, if you go to a church where nobody talks about what's the way you should live, they talk about prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. Look, let me tell you something. I'm not anti-prosperity, and you will agree with me. Anyone who has attended this church before, they know that they have been blessed. Nobody has come to this church and has not been blessed. Ask about the history. Most people you see in town, they started from here. I mean, most people, you know, because we'll be the first African church. And a lot of people who started from here, God bless them. So, as for your blessing, it's guaranteed in Jesus. What is important is your relationship with Him. And I'm telling you that God will bless you. But the thing is so important that we know this. So, the day, if you've done something in ignorance, the day you know about it, is the day God expects you to make correction. Not postponing it. For example, if we say to pay your tithe, you say, we think we are tricking God. You say, okay, I'll just trick God. Maybe after this salary, this one I really need it badly. After this salary, next salary, I'll start from there. What God expects from you is that today that you hear. He said, when you become aware of it, he said, he didn't say 3 months after you became aware of it. He didn't say 1 year after you became aware of it. Some people become aware of things. Instead of making amends, they postpone. The opportunity to actually make amends may never come. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So, I hope we've taken note of some of these things that I've said. That everybody involved has to make amends. Secondly, everyone take responsibility for their individual, you know, sins. And we need to be aware that everyone who hears the word is expected to obey immediately. Now, I'm well aware of our time. Because I've covered mostly what is here. Okay, I don't just want to read it as it is. Let's go towards the end. Because you are going to be asking me, what about this dispensation? Or, maybe I'm very harsh. I'm very unforgiving. Maybe, you know, I'm not the one to forgive sin. It's God who forgives sin. So I'm not being harsh, but this is what the word says. Let's go to the last paragraph in our bulletin there. He said, thirdly, there was no remedy prescribed for sins committed deliberately, defiantly, or in rebellion against the commandment of God. Take note of that. So I didn't write this. I took it from the writing of another church. I didn't write this. So it's not me being wicked. It's not me being unforgiving. And after all, whatever you do is not done against me. It was not conceivable then, nor is it now, that an Israelite of God will live in deliberate and continual disobedience to God's express commandment. It is also affirmed in the New Testament that, so let's read this together, the highlighted part of it, that, can we go, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now, let's go ahead. In fact, if those transgressions for which the sin offering made atonement were committed willfully and in defiance, the transgressors should be cut off from among his people. Now, let's read this part. That's Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. Let's read together. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. That is Hebrews chapter 10, 26 and 27. Who has New Living Translation? Yes, can you read? Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. I didn't write this Bible. Hebrews 10, 26, 27. Let's hear what it says.
Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there's no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There's only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies.
I think we can keep it there. Do we hear that? Church, do we all hear that? Is it clear enough? Please, who has Amplified Version? Amplified Version. I didn't bring my own today. Who has Amplified Version of the Bible? We don't have. It's good to have Amplified Version though. So that we can hear the expanded, explanation there. So how then, I don't know where some people get their own this thing from that tells us it does not matter. The people who tell us it does not matter, please, where do they get their own from? The people say, look, it doesn't matter anymore. You've just had me this morning, right? What the word of God says. It says, after we have come to knowledge of it. After. So in other words, if you don't know before, the day you become aware, that is the day it should end. That which God has told you, it's not the way to live. That which God has told you, it's not the way to go. The day you hear, that is the day you have knowledge of it. There has to be a change. Praise the Lord. Do we have questions? Contributions? Questions? Contributions? Questions? Contributions? So we share. I think it's very important that we ask questions. You may not be sure about something. You might have been wondering about this thing. And you just heard me this morning. And you want to ask. That's why it's a Sunday school. It's a school. It's meant to be a teaching session. So please, ask questions. Or, if you think differently, and you want to share it with us, please, there's an opportunity here. Or maybe you've read somewhere in the Bible and you think there's a contradiction. You know? Please, can we just share it? That's why it's a Sunday school. When the preacher starts to preach, we may not be able to stop him and say, look, this is the question I have. But in this case, we can all ask questions. Yes.
Sir, could you explain a little further about people who don't go to church and how creation and things witness to them?
Praise the Lord. I think it's in Romans that the Bible actually says, for they are without excuse. In other words, in fact, I went out, was it the week before, not last week, and I was ministered to by a very senior man of God. And one of the things that we discuss is that when you look at the way things are set up in the whole world, when you look at, because the Bible tells us that the things that we see, that they are actually a mirror image, so to say. They are examples of the things that God, you know, I mean, the way God operates, essentially. When you look at the way he sets up homes, and that's why when God describes the relationship between Jesus and us, or the church, he talks about the husband and the wife, for example. So that everything that God has set up is supposed to be an example of the way God operates. And some of us who have done biology, when you look at the order of things, how things will vary one from the other, you know, and just one advancing above the other in a way until you get to who we are. And you can actually see that we are the crown of God's creation. Okay. Now, when you look at all these things, you will know that they are not by accident. Somebody said, if you say we evolved from Big Bang, from a stone, why do we still have stones? If you say we evolved from monkeys, why do we have monkeys left? Why haven't they all evolved and become human beings? Why do we have, you know, all the different stages still persisting? In other words, what we need to be aware is that everything we see around us tell of the glory of God, tell of the presence of God. And it is unto us, up to us, to learn of him based on these things that we can see that tells of his glory. And that is why it says, and man has no excuse. We have no excuse. He has left enough of his signature, his marks, because we are going to be arguing and saying some people have not heard the gospel. We have not taken the gospel to, it is our responsibility to take the gospel to people. But in places that he has not been to, and they have not made the discovery of God, it's not an excuse that they know God. Remember, we are talking about ignorance here, that it's not an excuse. It is our responsibility to search for him, to search for knowledge. Praise the Lord. Does that answer the question? Yeah. It's our responsibility to search for knowledge. There are enough things around to tell of his glory, to tell of his arrangement, what he has put in place. Any other one? Because this is very important. It's an area we don't like talking about. I mean, no, I know that I don't like. I'm talking about the Christian body that they don't like talking about, you know. Any other questions? Okay. Can we pray? I mean, when you look at the last paragraph and you read it and digest it, the implication is quite significant. And as a result, this morning, Once you have had God's position on this thing, maybe you have had God's word before and you thought you could postpone it till next year or 3 months' time or something like that. Based on what you have had this morning, it may be time to go to God and just make amends. You've had His word. Maybe you've had it before. But you now know where He stands in regards to what He tells you, in regards to His instruction. Can we just rise on our feet, please, and just speak to the Lord? Let's rise up. Let's speak to Him. Can you just speak to the Lord this morning? Now that you know, now that you have come to the knowledge of His position on these things, that He takes His word seriously. He wants to bless you. He does not want anything to be a barrier between Him and you. He does not want anything that will restrict Him from being able to do what He wants to do in your life. Can you speak to Him this morning? If there is any way you are just not right with Him, there's no excuse. If there's any way you are not right with Him, can you just speak to the Lord this morning? Just speak to Him. Just ask Him, say, Lord, now that I know your position and hear your word concerning the way you want me to live, concerning the way you want me to conduct myself, concerning the way my attitude should be to your words, Lord Jesus, I come before you because there's the blood that is able to remit my sin, the blood of Jesus. I draw upon that blood and I sprinkle it upon myself this morning. And I ask, Lord, that you make me whole and clean once again. Thank you, Jesus. So that everything that has been done in ignorance, in Jesus' name, there's a reconciliation this morning. I say there's a reconciliation between man and God this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it is meant to do something in the life of somebody. And I just pray this morning that everyone that has heard me this morning, that they will become right with you in Jesus' name. Lord, give us a heart that is malleable, a heart of flesh that hears your word and trembles before your instruction. We'll make our way back to you, O Lord, to live in the bliss of knowing that we are pleasing you. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful, mighty name we pray. Amen.